I am thankful for the pilgrims who left Europe to come over here to America for religious liberty, for other pursuits, yes, but primarily freedom. I'm so thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy and that we celebrated yesterday on the 4th of July, actually Independence Day. In the United States, Independence Day is a federal holiday commemorating the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, which actually was originally written on the 2nd of July, and then there was a few amendments, and on the 4th of July of 1776, America, the colonies, declared their independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. We are thankful that we are an independent nation, although the world has, in these last days, come together to form a new world order where we do not know how much longer we will enjoy the freedoms that our founding fathers brought to this land. We must redeem the time. John Adams had written to his wife Abigail these words: "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows and games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, and from this time forward, forevermore." I like the statement that John Adams made, that this day ought to be commemorated with solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. You know, as we think about the freedoms in America, as we think about liberty in this land, I want to talk to you today about a liberty that is available to every man, woman, boy, and girl, a freedom that is available to every person in the world, a freedom that once received will make you free forever, for all eternity. Notice with me in John chapter 8, as we read together, beginning with verse 30, I titled this message, True Liberty. And as we see our text, you'll understand why. Jesus says, "As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, You shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to consider your message of freedom. I pray that you would speak to every heart and every life, and that there would be true spiritual liberty experienced by everyone in this place. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I'm so thankful for the month of March 1976, which was the bicentennial year. 200 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed, that the Lord Jesus saved my soul through the personal witness of a man who shared the gospel with me in a post office in New Britain, Connecticut. I'm so thankful that from that day on, I've known freedom. liberty, a freedom from the wages of my sin, which is death. My friend, this is the ultimate freedom that every heart, whether they realize it or not, every soul is in need of this. Everyone needs to be liberated. Sin has us shackled. We are slaves of it. But Jesus breaks the chains and sets the captive free. He did that here in John 8. As there were many people who would hear his message, the Bible says, as he spake these words, while he taught about his equality with God the Father, as he talked about the Father's authentication of the Son, many of the Jews believed in him. They came to trust his person while they listened to his words. By the way, it is very interesting, as he spake these words, many believed. There's a connection between the words of God and belief. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, faith comes into a person's life by their hearing of the word of God. You cannot have faith in Christ apart from the word of God. Faith and the word cannot be separated. To have faith apart from God's word is to have a faith without a solid foundation. For our faith is anchored in the very promises of God. Therefore, whenever we share the gospel, and I hope you do, that you share the gospel by sharing the word of God. They need the word. Now, these people, some Gentiles and some Jews, professed faith in the Lord. There is at least an outward profession of faith that is made here. For I believe some of them were like Simon, the sorcerer, who himself believed and was baptized, and yet he was still chained to his sin, still filled with bitterness in his heart, still lost. There is a belief that doesn't save. Even the demons believe and tremble. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 that there is a belief that is in vain, empty, a belief that's not real. And so this belief was perhaps a nominal belief or a pseudo faith by many. For you see, if you continue reading this text, that many believed, and yet before long they would be picking up stones to cast at him in this very chapter in John 8 and verse 59. Notice verse 31 of our text. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You see, some might profess to be believers, some might profess to be disciples of the Lord, but the real test is whether or not they remain committed to the words of Christ. And Jesus now singles out those whose faith has been ignited upon hearing his words. You know, there are many who will walk an aisle, pray a prayer, profess faith, but not have genuine salvation. But then there are some who become convicted of their sin, realize their lost condition, see Jesus as the answer, call out to him in faith, and it clicks. They're genuinely saved. True faith has been ignited upon hearing the word of God. And Jesus says that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Those who remain, those who abide in the word of Christ, have evidence of the grand mark of truly being a disciple of the Savior, for they continue in his gospel message. A true disciple holds on and never lets go. There is no apostasy for a true disciple. There are no defectors from genuine Christianity. It is my belief that there is no true child of God who will ever abandon his faith. And Jesus says that if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now notice he uses his words carefully. He does not say, then you will be my disciples indeed. Very important. Jesus doesn't say, if you continue in my word, then you will become my disciples indeed. No, no. He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What does that mean? It means Jesus is giving evidence of somebody who not becomes a disciple, but shows evidence that they are a disciple. You see, he's not saying that continuing in his word will make you a disciple, but rather continuing in his word reveals that you are a true disciple. My disciple indeed. You see, a disciple is one who has come under the spiritual teachings and disciplines of his master. The word disciple and the word discipline are related terms. We have come under the disciplines of the master. We have been taught, we've been trained by him. So a disciple is one who, because of his training, mimics, imitates, or copies the lessons of the lifestyle of his teacher. That's why those at Antioch were called Christians, because as people looked at them, they saw that they resembled Jesus Christ in their actions, reactions, attitudes, motivations. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly. It's the same word translated truth in verse 32. So a real disciple, or a disciple indeed, is a true, bona fide, real, or genuine disciple. He's not talking here about a good disciple or a better disciple, but a real disciple. Jesus is referring to a real disciple as opposed to a false disciple. And he says, your future loyalty to my teaching will prove the reality of your profession. You profess to know me? Well, if you continue in my word, then you are my real disciples. My friend Jesus now is going to show us about this spiritual freedom, this spiritual liberty that comes from his word. Notice verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What a statement. That statement has been repeated by politicians. That statement has been repeated by teachers throughout the 2,000 years of history since Jesus made the statement. But it's taken out of context. Within its context, Jesus is speaking about his word. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The term truth is linked to the word word in verse 31. Jesus, who is the word, the living word, he's also the living truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the one who gave us the written word, which is written truth. Jesus said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's a connection between the word of God and truth in John 17, 17. And so knowing the truth is inseparably connected to continuing in Christ's word. And so, my friend, do you want to be free? Do you want to know real liberty? There's a connection between truth and the word of Jesus Christ. How much time have we spent in the Word this week? Truth is the engine or driving force of the Christian life. Apart from the truth, we would live in the realm of lies and deceit and darkness and death. We were talking yesterday about how we named our firstborn Catherine, but We were throwing around a couple other names. One name that we had in mind for Katie was Aletheia. And she said, I'm glad you didn't call me Aletheia. Because the Greek word aletheion means truth. Do you know what truth is? Truth is reality. Not perceived reality, but truth is reality. It comes to us as reality that has been revealed or unveiled, unsealed or opened up. God's revelation has been opened up before our eyes and we come to see and know reality. The fog and mist of Satan's lies is lifted and the reality of Jesus Christ and His will becomes clear to us when we know the truth. The Word. Jesus is the truth. Because He not only tells us reality, He is reality. He's really God. In fact, He is God in visible form. He is the personification of everything that is real. Do you know all truth needs to be tested by a standard? And there is no standard apart from God. He is the perfect and ultimate source and standard of truth. My friend, truth is not invented by man. Truth is discovered by man. Truth does not evolve from society's mores. Truth is eternal because all truth has its origin in God, the ultimate reality. God does not only tell the truth, He is the truth. Truth is part of the essence of God. Listen to John 5:32, where God the Father is called the truth. Jesus said of the Father, He that sent me is true. Jesus came that we might know the only true God. The Thessalonians turned from idols to the true and living God. Jesus Christ is the truth. I like Faith's testimony today. She quoted John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is said of Jesus that He was full of grace and truth, and that grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate asked, what is truth? He didn't realize it, but he was staring truth right in the face. The Bible says the truth is in Jesus, Ephesians 4 and verse 21. Jesus is so true, He's called the Amen, the faithful and true witness, Revelation 3:14. In Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and He that sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness He doth judge and make war. You see, the Father is truth. The Son is truth. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the truth. In John 14:17, He's called the Spirit of Truth. Why is that? He never leads anyone into error. The Holy Spirit only leads into truth. He will only guide in one direction, and that is in the truth. Listen to what Jesus said, John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And so the Spirit's job is to tell the truth about Jesus Christ. God is the truth. Now, Jesus says that if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Then that proves that you're really My disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Several things about that great statement, the truth shall make you free. First of all, the truth is exclusive. He says, the truth. The definite article tells me that truth is exclusive. Truth is not relative. What's true for you may not be true for me. That's not true. Truth is true all the time. Truth is not optional, where you can pick any set of beliefs and turn out okay. No, there is a truth that is found in the revelation of God. The truth shall make you. The word make tells me that truth is powerful. It has the power to change a person, to make a person different. And here, he says it will make you free. Truth is liberating. To be free means to be released from enslavements, to be unshackled from what held us captive. And you know, there's a lot of people that think that freedom, that real freedom, is being away from Christ and away from Christianity. No, that is slavery in its highest form, that they are slaves to their own selfish nature. They are slaves to sin. They are under a bondage of the enemy that they think does not exist. But when you know Christ, that's when you're free. When you know the gospel, you are liberated. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from the enslavement of sin. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committed sin is the servant or slave of sin. What are we free from? We're free from slavery, the slavery of sin. We're also free from the lies of Satan. Skip down to verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You see, when we are free from the lies of our spiritual adversary. You see, freedom, whether intellectual, moral, or spiritual, is only attainable when we are set free from darkness and sin and ignorance and superstition, and let the light of the Word shine upon us. That's Jesus Christ. You know, there's a theme of freedom in the Bible. And I was wondering, now, which one of these texts should I preach on at a time where we commemorate liberty in America? I could have picked Romans 6:18. Listen to this. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I could have picked Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's a good verse. I could have picked 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's a good text for the 4th of July. I could have picked Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Great text. I could have picked 1 Peter 2:16. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God has a lot to say about being free, about having liberty. You see, being free is knowing the truth. And when you know the truth, you are set free from lies, deceptions, ignorance, foolishness. For example, knowing the truth about God sets you free from the lie and enslavement of idolatry. Knowing the truth about man sets you free from the lie and enslavement of humanism. Knowing the truth about creation sets you free from the lie and enslavement of evolution. Knowing the truth about salvation sets you free from the lie and enslavement of false religion. Knowing the truth about love sets you free from the lie and enslavement of self-centeredness. Knowing the truth about marriage sets you free from the lie and enslavement of divorce and adultery. And I might add, these so-called same-sex marriages. Knowing the truth about the church sets you free from the lie and enslavement of the cults. And you know, the Word of God contains the truth of God, which sets us free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not only does His truth make us free, but He who is the truth sets us free. The Son shall make you free. Look at verse 33. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? You see, the Jews thought that their genetic link to Abraham gave them spiritual liberty that the Gentiles did not possess. They figured, we're better than all these other people because we have Abraham as our father. Let me tell you, my friend, freedom comes by your relationship to Christ, not your relationship to mere mortals, whoever they may be. You see, in the Jews' minds, the merits of Abraham would cover all of their demerits. Similar to Roman Catholicism's view that the extra graces of Mary and the saints can fall upon the Catholic sinner, and that you can benefit because of your link to one of these saints. Nothing could be farther from the truth. What a lie of the devil. The only merit that truly falls to the sinner is the merit of Christ and his redemption. But they thought, because we're linked to Abraham, that we will have some of Abraham's blessing upon us. They said, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. They didn't realize it, but they were slaves to something they're not aware of. They were slaves to sin. They thought, we're not in bondage. We've never been in bondage. They obviously were not thinking about the Egyptian bondage or the bondage of Assyria, Babylon, Greece, or of the Roman bondage, which in large measure controlled the population of Judea, although they still had a certain measure of freedom, but they were under control. And so free from what? They wondered. And Jesus answers in verse 34, you can be free from sin. You see, the Jews whom Jesus addresses didn't see their enslavement. And do you know something, my friend? You will never be free either until you see that you're a slave to sin and you need freedom and liberty, which is only found in Jesus Christ. All of us, whether we admit it or not, were once slaves to sin. And you know, when you choose a sin, you don't just choose an act, you choose a master. Jesus said that whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. People may think, well, I'm not serving anyone. You're a servant of sin. Your own selfish nature. But once free by the grace of God, a whole new world opens up to you, like a blind man who sees the world for the first time, or like an imprisoned man who walks the streets finally, where he could say, wow, this is what I've been missing all these years. What a blessing it is to be free. I do know that we have one in our building today who knows what it's like to be in a confinement, to be in a cell. There's not a person in this room that has experienced what Brother Suleiman Gengeng has experienced, where he was in a tiny cell, approximately 4 feet by 8 feet, with several other captives, and in a tight confinement for years. He can appreciate what it means to be set free. To be a slave or to be in confinement and to finally be set free. You can breathe. What liberty. Jesus is the one who brings this. The Bible says in verse 34, that whoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Most people, whether they realize it or not, are obeying sin, self, or Satan, and thereby are serving sin, self, or Satan. And all of us have sinned. We were all part of, under the slave master, sin. In Robertson's word pictures, he writes, sin, like the worst narcotic, is habit-forming. Hence the problem today for criminologists regarding paroled or criminals who nearly always go back to crime, sink again into sin, the slaves of sin. But you know, in the Lord, there is freedom. See what he says in verse 35? And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Say, what does that mean? It means although you're a servant of sin, servants don't remain in the house forever. He's using a common understood reality that a servant dwells in somebody's house for a time and then moves out and moves on. Servants can be hired, servants can be fired at any time. However, a son of a household is always a rightful resident. He is the heir. He will obtain the household privileges permanently. The son abides permanently. Jesus' point is this. You don't have to remain a servant permanently. You don't have to be enslaved to sin forever. The son can free you and rid you of your servitude to sin. And then once he does, you abide with the son forever. Amen. What a blessing. I like verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. For Jesus, the ultimate bondage is not enslavement to political or economic system, but as Carson writes, but vicious slavery to moral failure and rebellion against the God who made us. The despotic master is not Caesar, but shameful self-centeredness and evil and enslaving devotion to created things at the expense of worship of the Creator. But you know, Jesus can release you. And if he releases you, you will be free indeed. You'll be really released. True freedom comes from Jesus Christ. You who are slaves to sin, no matter what it may be, some addiction, the Son can make you free. How many drunkards have been set free by Jesus? And the world wonders, how do you have that victory? Jesus can set the drunkard free. How many drug addicts have been set free by Jesus? How many prostitutes have been set free by the Lord? No matter what the vice is, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. He can free from pornography and other sexual perversions. He can give liberty to those who are slaves to homosexuality and fornication, food addiction or gluttony, gambling, and the madness of materialism. Jesus can give victory no matter what the vice is. Boy, that's a blessing, that the Son can make me free. Absolutely. And when we're free to now serve the Lord. In fact, we're not free to do our will and to fulfill our lusts. That would make us a slave to ourselves, to our sin nature and our deceitful hearts. But rather, when we are free, we're free to do God's will. And not reluctantly, but joyfully, because he is 100% truth. I'll tell you, more exhilarating than any freedom that can be experienced is the freedom that his truth brings and that the Son brings. More fulfilling than Israel's freedom in Exodus from Egypt is the believer's freedom in Exodus from sin and its consequences. My friend, have you been set free? Jesus wants to set you free today. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can liberate every man, woman, boy, and girl. We talk today about liberty. But I have a picture on your outline there of the cross and two hands and a chain that have been liberated. I'm free because of the Son of God. Has the Son made you free? Let me talk to the believers today. Do you know the Son of God can give you victory? No matter what it is that you're facing, and you, as you heard today from Eunice's testimony, that The scripture teaches that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Jesus can give you that kind of freedom. He can give you the victory. No matter what trial you're going through, He is the answer. Seek Him. Ask Him. Say, Lord, I want to be free from whatever it is you're enslaved to. He'll set you free. I'll guarantee it. If you cry out to Him today, Lord, I want to be free from this vice, from this habit, from this problem, and I know it's according to your will for me to be free, the Son will make you free. Ask Him. Seek Him. There may be some in here that are afflicted by demonic oppression. You may be afflicted by evil spirits. I do believe that there are many who are tormented. Maybe they're not possessed, but they're oppressed by the enemy. Jesus Christ sets those people free. Cry out to Him for freedom, and He will answer that prayer, because that is a prayer according to His will. But you must cry out. And you know, my dear friend, for those who are here who have never called upon Jesus for salvation, you may call yourself a Christian because you are from a Christian family, but you need a relationship with the Son of God. It's not enough to claim, I've got saved parents. That won't get you in. The Jews said, we have Abraham as our father. That couldn't get them in. You need Jesus for yourself. Call upon Him today. Trust Him, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. And you will know the Son, and the Son will set you free. What a blessing that we can have real liberty. My friend, this is real freedom that we're talking about today. A freedom that will last forever. Not just a political freedom. A freedom that provides freedom for every sphere of life, every aspect of life. We will experience liberty once we come to the God of peace. Would you come to Him today? Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for this time of the year when we reflect upon the freedoms that we enjoy in America. Thank you for 1776. Thank you for the Declaration of Independence. Thank you for our Constitution. Thank you for the Bill of Rights. Thank you so much, Lord, for freedom in this land to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to gather in an assembly like this, to have freedom of religion. And Lord, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ, that He's the true liberator. He's the one who sets the captive free. I pray that everyone in here would experience that liberty. For there may be some in here that are slaves, shackled to sin, want release but don't find it. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one who brings real freedom. I pray that many will come to trust you today. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray for the believers that we who have you would allow you to give us liberty as Christians, so that we will not be enslaved to our own passions and lusts, so that we will not be enslaved by the world's lies or Satan's lies, but that we would be set free. Thank you, Lord, for you are our peace. You are the one who delivers us from darkness and enslavement. You are the one who truly brings real political reform, and you help nations who turn to you. Lord, we pray that our nation would turn to you by starting with your children acknowledging our need for you for liberty every day. Give us spiritual liberty, Lord, and help us to live free and know the joy of being free from sin and evil. Before I conclude my prayer, how many in this room would say, Pastor Sawyer, the Lord spoke to me today,